Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? Or why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own.
Well, friends, please keep your Bibles open. I've got three simple points for us this morning. Number one, do not worry. Number two, why you should not worry. And number three, how to stop worrying. But before we take a closer look at these words of Jesus, how about I pray for us? Let's pray. Gracious Father, some of us here are worried. Some of us here are worried about money or about marriage. Some of us are worried about our health or the health of someone we love. Some of us are worried about our kids or our grandkids. Some of us are worried about the future, while others are worried about the consequences of the past. Now, Lord, you tell us to cast all our anxiety on you because you care for us. You teach us not to be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, to present our requests to you. And you hold out to us the promise that when we do this, your peace, which transcends all understanding, will guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. And so, Father, we pause now to bring our worries and our anxieties before you. Lord, thank you that you care. We ask now that you would help us to be not distracted by our worries. Help us to see that we have no need to worry. Lord, we ask this morning that you would help us to overcome worry. And we ask this for Jesus' sake and for ours. Amen. Well, friends, last week we came to the part of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount where he told us, do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, but to instead store up for ourselves treasures in heaven. And the reason for that was partly because treasures on earth are temporary, whereas what comes to us from heaven is eternal. But mostly, it is because our hearts follow our treasures. And so where we invest our treasure ends up determining whether we will serve God or something else. Well, in verse 25, Jesus continues along these lines when he says, therefore, do not worry. The word therefore shows us that he is linking worry with what he has just said before this. Now, since earthly treasure does not last, and since distracted eyes and divided hearts lead us into darkness, and since we cannot serve God and money at the same time, therefore, do not worry. And then he repeats the same instruction again in verse 31, so do not worry. And yet again in verse 34, therefore, do not worry. Now, friends, there is no prizes for guessing what Jesus wants us to do this morning. Do not worry. But let's just unpack that a little bit further. Because, first of all, it's important to see that Jesus is not saying, do not have an anxiety disorder. Because you can't just tell someone not to have a mental illness, any more than you can tell someone not to have the flu or the chicken pox. It just doesn't work like that. Now, I say this because I've met a number of well-meaning Christians who have treated these verses as the one-stop solution to all mental illness. But I don't think that's how Jesus wants us to understand his words here. Now, don't get me wrong. These verses are vital and beautiful, and someone with an anxiety disorder or any other mental illness needs to know these words just as much as you do. But friends, someone with mental illness most likely needs more help than just this. They need your support. They might need professional support. They may even need medication or other interventions. And we're doing them no favours if we just hit them over the head with a Bible and say, don't worry. So I think it's worth kind of clarifying that. Secondly, I don't think Jesus is telling us just to chill out and stop thinking. I've met lots of people who kind of think that Christians should just not worry, by which they mean not care. Now, this is not Hakuna Matata. This is not Jesus singing, don't worry, be happy, and telling us just to ignore anything that might worry us. There are some things that should worry us. If your job is as a tradie working on someone's house, you should worry about what the construction code says. If you're a parent, you should worry about the welfare of your kids. I was down at the bike park with my kids this week, and there were some boys there whose parents clearly were not worried about them. And I'll tell you, they probably should be. There is some worry that is necessary. Even in the Bible, we get examples of good worry. In 2 Corinthians 11, the Apostle Paul says, I face daily the pressure of my concern for all the churches. He's worried for the welfare of his Christian brothers and sisters. That word concern is the same word that Jesus uses here in Matthew 6. To be concerned is to worry, and worry is what you do when you care. Which means worry can be a good thing. The issue here in Matthew 6 is that we worry about the wrong things. And our worry distracts us from what is truly worth thinking about. Now, Jesus says in verse 25, therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. That food, drink, and clothing should not occupy our thoughts. And you would think that would be really easy for people like us. We live in some of the most wealthy parts of the world in the most wealthy time of history. Never in my life have I ever doubted that I would have basic needs met. And yet, even with all our wealth, many of us still spend a lot of our time distracted by these exact things. Do you see, it doesn't really matter whether you have hardly any or lots. We still worry about the same things. Now, we don't worry about having enough food, but we do worry about having tasty food or healthy food or organic food. We don't necessarily worry whether we will have clothing to wear, but we certainly worry about wearing the right clothing, about wearing flattering clothing, or about wearing fashionable clothing. And so there's a challenge for us here this morning, isn't there? Jesus says, do not worry about these things. Don't be distracted by these things. Don't go and be like Martha, who was worried and upset about many things when only one thing was needed. Don't be like the seed sown among thorns, which was choked by the worries of this life. Do not worry, says Jesus. That's the first point. But then he tells us why. Now, the first reason we should not worry is that worrying is ineffective. And this is a perfectly secular reason that Jesus brings up. Even your atheist friends could agree with Jesus on this point of what he points out in verse 27. He says, can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? That's a really good point, isn't it? Of course we can't. Worrying doesn't make your life longer. If anything, it makes it shorter. And you don't have to be a Christian to accept that. Worrying is completely ineffective. But Jesus says worrying is also illogical. And he makes this point three times. And in each case, he's inviting us to think about what God is like. So in verse 25, Jesus says, therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. And then he adds, is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes? And you've got to see Jesus' logic here. He says, if God gives you life and a body, which are incredibly big and precious gifts, what reason have you to think that he won't also give you the little things that you need to care for those precious gifts? Things like food and clothing. He says if God takes care of the huge thing, of course he's going to take care of the little thing. When you notice what God is like, you'll see that worrying is illogical. But in case you're not convinced, well, Jesus makes the point another time in verse 26. When he tells us to go look at birds. Now, if you're into bird watching, well done. You're obeying Jesus' command. If you're not into bird watching, take a look at verse 26. Look at the birds. Do it. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Now you see, in that first point, Jesus takes us from the big thing down to the little thing. This time he takes us the other direction. Before, he says, if God give you life and a body, huge things, will he not also give you food and clothing, little things? This time he starts with the small thing. Look at the birds. Small, insignificant, often unnoticed birds. And notice that God gives them everything they need. Now, of course, Jesus' point isn't that birds just sit around waiting for God to drop food into their beaks. If you've ever watched a bird, you'll know they actually work quite hard for their food. Nor is Jesus saying that birds never die of starvation. They do. But the point is that birds were created by a God who designed a whole food chain, a whole system to ensure that even they would have something to eat. He is a God who is in control. He makes sure the birds have food, and if he's able to orchestrate all of that to feed these small, insignificant parts of his creation, why would we think that he wouldn't also provide for the centerpiece of his creation, you and me? Are you not much more valuable than they? Of course you are. And yet sometimes we act as if God doesn't care. said the robin to the sparrow, I should really like to know why these anxious human beings rush around and worry so. Said the sparrow to the robin, friend, I think that it must be that they have no heavenly father, such as cares for you and me. Friends, if God cares for the birds, you have no need to worry. He will care for us too. In verse 28, Jesus again points to the small, insignificant parts of creation. This time he points to flowers. And flowers do even less for themselves than birds do. They're here one day and thrown into the fire the next. They don't do anything to care for themselves. Flowers do nothing. They are utterly useless. That's why I never buy them for my wife. But even though flowers do nothing for themselves, even though they are here just for a moment, God provides for them. He makes them beautiful. And so if God is a God who gives you life and a body, if God is a God who provides for the birds and the flowers, it would be completely illogical to worry that God would not also provide for your day-to-day needs. Worry is ineffective, it is illogical. But the biggest problem with worry, and this is really getting to the heart of the issue, is that worrying is actually a betrayal of our Christian identity. It's a denial of who we are. Worry is what we do when we forget who it is that we belong to. As far as Jesus is concerned, worrying is what you do when you don't know that you have a father. And so in verse 31, Jesus says, worrying is what non-Christians do. Now, pagans, people who don't know God, they have every reason to worry. They don't know where their food or their clothing is coming from. They don't know where their next breath is coming from. And should that next breath not come, they have no idea what happens next. What a terrible position to be in. But Jesus' point is that if you're a Christian, if you're someone who serves God, not the things of the world, if you're someone who knows that the God who gave you life not only knows what you need, but also provides and has a track record of providing for your needs, then worry is completely out of the question. To worry would be to show that you don't really trust Him to be God. To worry would be to live as if you don't have a loving Heavenly Father. Now, Janice, my wife, works with teenagers who have anxiety. And when I hear some of their stories, it's little wonder they worry. But every now and then, Janice will come across a student who will tell her about how awful her parents are. Actually, she hears that side of things quite often. But every now and then, she'll get a picture of a dad who is a tyrant, who hates his daughter, who goes out of his way to make her life terrible. And then Janice will sit down with that dad, and he's in tears because he so desperately wants to help. The kid thinks she has a dad who hates her, when the reality is that that dad would do anything he could to help her. And sometimes that's what we do. You see, we worry, we get anxious, we can't sleep because we just can't see how we're going to deal with the circumstances in front of us. And it's like we think that God is against us. And so here in this passage, Jesus is saying to us, whoa, just hold on a second. Are you forgetting who your Heavenly Father is? Are you forgetting what He's like? He cares for you. He has always cared for you. He loves you so much that He sent His Son to die for you. And He knows what you need. He knows what you need even more than you know what you need. And so he says, you have no need to worry. He shows us how pointless worry is, how illogical worry is. But then in verse 33, Jesus shows us exactly how we can deal with the problem of worry. It is one thing for Jesus just to say, do not worry. But here he gives us something we can do that will kill worry. Instead of being like the pagans who seek after the things of the world, Jesus says, you just need to seek for something different. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. Now, it's not that we stop thinking, we just think about something better. It's not that we stop seeking, we just seek for something that is worth seeking. To seek first God's kingdom is to make entering into that kingdom and submitting to the rule of that kingdom and joining in the sharing, the spreading the news of that kingdom, to make those things our priority, our first priority. It's to basically express what we pray for in the first half of the Lord's Prayer. For God's name to be recognized as holy, for God's kingdom to come, for God's will to be done on earth. This is what it means to seek first God's kingdom. And to seek first his righteousness is to ensure that, is to strive with all our might to live like Jesus, to live to please Jesus. And when we do that, when we make the eternal rule of Jesus our number one priority, when we seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, Jesus shows us that two things will happen. The first thing is that we'll stop worrying about unimportant things. Now, I remember on the day that we brought baby Josiah home with us from the hospital. And I remember noticing how completely my priorities changed at that point. I was at Bible college at the time. I had essays that were due, and all of a sudden, I didn't give a stuff about them. I mean, I didn't care much for them before that, but now I had an excuse. And it was more than just that, though. It was, why would I go for a run? Why would I eat or shower or leave the house at all? I had a son to care for and to enjoy. Well, friends, the more we seek first Jesus and his righteousness, the more we would go, why would we care for money? Why would we care at all about the things of this world? Well, all of a sudden, the things that you used to think were really important become completely unimportant. That's how we stop worrying. We fill our mind, we fill our vision with something better. But there's a second thing that happens when you seek first Jesus' kingdom and his righteousness. And we see it at the end of verse 32 there. He says, all these things will be given to you as well. Now, seek first Jesus and his kingdom, and your heavenly Father will take care of the rest of those things. Prioritize the important thing, and God will worry about the unimportant things. Because he's a good God. He will give you what you need. And friends, this is important because if you ever find yourself in the position where it seems that God is not giving you what you need, if tomorrow you wake up and your bank account is empty and your cupboards are bare and you don't know where you will get your next meal from or what you will wear, don't worry. Because in that moment, your loving Heavenly Father is actually giving you exactly what you need. What we need in that moment may not be comfortable, may not be enjoyable, but our God is not just the God who showers us with undeserved grace. He's also the God who disciplines and grows his children and makes us fit for his kingdom. And doing without may just be the very thing that God knows that you need to help you trust him. And so friends, if you really want to put worry out of your life, if you really want to live without the stress of the world around you, live for something better. Make Jesus and his kingdom your priority. Those things will fade away as he grows more and more. Let's pray that we can do that. Our gracious God, we do ask this morning that you would help us seek first your kingdom and your righteousness. We go about our days with our minds filled with thoughts of all sorts of different things, distracted by many things when only one thing is necessary. Lord, we are a people who have been bought by you at the cost of your precious Son. Lord, help us to live as your people. Help us to be devoted and undivided to your kingdom. Help us to know that the things of this world will fade away into nothingness, and that only your eternal kingdom will last. And so, Lord, we ask that you would help us live in light of that kingdom. And we pray that in Jesus' name. Amen.